Hello, everyone, and welcome to War of the Stars, a Star Wars podcast. Coming to you, as always, from deep within the Outer Rim, far beyond the watchful eyes of the Galactic Empire. My name is John Martali, and joining me, as always, is my co-host,
Garrett K. Jones. How's it going, everybody?
Going okay over here. A little windy here, but otherwise, pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, we actually had some pretty good rain here over the last few days. At one point yesterday afternoon, it was pouring. It has been great. Last week had been kind of warm, and then all of a sudden it just dropped off and cooled down. And by Friday night, it was pouring rain. It was really amazing.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
spring over here has been kind of funky.
Yeah, same here. Anyway, again, this is a weather podcast.
No, it's not a weather podcast.
It is a Star Wars podcast. Hence the name, War of the Stars, a Star Wars podcast.
Yes. And so,
go ahead.
I know. I was just going to say it's been a crazy busy week. There's a lot of dropping on Disney Plus this last week.
Yeah. Yes, there has been. Watched a couple of the new stuff. Of course, watched what we'll be talking about today, Bad Batch, the latest episode of Bad Batch. I also checked out X-Men 97, which if you're an old school X-Men fan, I highly suggest you check out. Very, very good. Very cool. But we're here to talk about the latest episode of the Bad Batch.
Yes, this episode was called, it's season 3, episode 8. It's called Bad Territory. The description is, desperate for intel, Hunter and Wrecker track down a dangerous bounty hunter.
Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, did this feel like a side quest to you?
Oh, it for sure felt like a side quest.
Yeah, like, not necessarily a bad thing, but it definitely felt like I was playing it, like if I was playing a video game, this was a side quest.
Yeah, and I don't exactly know why they spent their time keeping, like, Crosshair on the back burner. I mean, I get it. They're kind of concerned about him, how he would be in the field, but, like, he's not so much of a threat that they couldn't have used him. So yeah. I did like the fact that we get a little bit more bonding between Crosshair and Omega. We get to see Hunter's more, you know, very by the numbers approach, and meets Wrecker's very, very uncontrolled, very lax handling of things and working to their advantage. It's definitely been good, like, to see these two characters really grow and flourish as kind of the main members of the team has been pretty cool.
Yeah, it has been. It has been. It was. I don't know how I feel about this episode, because I think this is the closest we've got to a filler episode so far this season.
I would agree.
I wouldn't call it a full filler episode, because I think you still had enough in there that connected to the main overall plot of this season. But
yeah,
it did feel like a divergence from where we had been.
Yeah, everything felt very, very tight. Everything felt very contained. Now we're going off the rails again, because, like, it made sense in episode two, Paths Unknown, where we started dealing with Wrecker and Hunter, you know, in search of Omega. That made sense. It just feels like we needed to have the only reason why the characters were split up again is to make the plot happen.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like it was necessary. I mean, keeping Omega out of public view, fine, that makes sense. But there are plenty of people that could have watched her back and taken care of her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could have, even if you would have had a line in there for why Crosshair wasn't there, in the fact of, the less people we have in this mission, the better. You know, it's something that's right, to be small, you know, only one or two people. We don't want to get, you know, get Finnick spooked by having too many people there. But
Yeah.
It was still a decent episode.
It was. And I one of the things I liked about the episode was that, like I said, the overall connection with Crosshair and Omega is growing.
I did like that.
And especially considering the fact that he had been so standoffish with her from the very beginning. However, there's a part of me, the writing side of me wants to say, this is a, like, it's setting us up for not necessarily disappointment. It's going to set us up for some heartbreak, because I feel like if your projections about Crosshair being like a secret mole or a plant of some kind, and he doesn't know it, mm-hmm. and he's actually the tracking fob that they're following, like, mm-hmm. it would make so much sense that he would start building this rapport with her, and then all of a sudden they pull the rug out from underneath everybody, and he turns out to be the actual enemy.
Mm-hmm. I hope they don't go that far. I mean, as far as him turning out to be a villain.
Yeah.
We have a little guest here. Sorry.
No worries.
Go on, girl. Anyway, bye, babe, girl. That was the co-host of Star Wars Through the Eyes of a Child, by the way. Check it out on YouTube. It's a really good show. So I've heard. Anyway, where were we?
We were talking about the potential for Crosshair being a triple agent.
Oh, yeah. I don't mind if it's like he's been implanted with a tracking fob or something like that, but I don't want him to turn out to be evil, to use a term.
Yeah.
You know, if it's something that's beyond his control and he has to fight through it, I do think, as I said before, I do think that he is going to sacrifice himself by the end of the series.
I do too.
It makes the most sense. It also makes just the fact that we don't see them in Rebels with Rex's group, that maybe all of them, something happens to all of them.
Yeah, that would also make sense that there's a kind of an en masse killing of these of the team.
Yeah, I mean, I go back and forth between which one to me would make the most sense to survive and maybe take care of Omega.
Yeah,
and either any of them, between Hunter and Wrecker, would make. I think Hunter makes the most sense. Just because of his, you know, who he is and who he's become,
mm-hmm.
As like the father figure to Omega. Whereas Wrecker seems more of the uncle type.
Yeah, I could see that. It would be interesting to see how this plays out, because I'm curious to see what's coming up next, because I'm looking at the release schedule. And the next episode is called The Harbinger. And I'm thinking that I feel like this is, well, because I'm looking at the next, we're at 8 episodes now. We've got 7 more to go before the end of the season. And these are the names of the next 7 episodes.
Okay.
The Harbinger.
All right.
Which is coming up this week.
Yeah.
Identity Crisis, Point of No Return, Juggernaut, Into the Breach, Flash Strike, and The Cavalry Has Arrived. And with episodes like Identity Crisis and Point of No Return, I feel like either one of two things is going to happen. My prediction with regards to Crosshair from earlier in this episode is going to come true, or the remaining operative that washed up on that riverbank in episode 7 is going to turn out to be Tech, and he's going to be dealing with an identity crisis. And Point of No Return is going to be that crucial moment when I think someone may die.
That would be interesting.
It would be.
I'm still not sure how I feel about the idea. I'm still not sure how I feel about the idea of Tech returning.
I'm kind of with you on that. It would be great if he did, but I think it would be better if he didn't. Just simply because it would give his death a lot more weight and more meaning.
I agree. Yes. Now, at the same token, if you want to do something to really mess with Omega Psyche and really have Tech return as someone that's trying to catch her and but then again, we've seen that with, you know, Crosshair.
Yeah.
But I don't. Yeah, I go back. You know, yeah, I say leave Tech dead.
Yeah. Although I will say that with the title Harbinger for this next episode 9, I think that's where we're going to start seeing Asajj Ventress making a return into the series.
Yes. Yeah, I forgot that she's supposed to be making a return.
And so that's my prediction. I'm predicting that she is going to be coming back in that episode because given who Fennec Shand was talking about, spoiler alert, Fennec Shand has returned to the galaxy yet again. Once again, voiced by the always awesome Ming-Na Wen. I think the person that she was talking to on the other end of that hologram was Asajj Ventress. Although I don't understand why, because Asajj has spent time as a bounty hunter. She would actually do very well, probably better than Fennec Shand as a bounty hunter. So
She got that whole force thing and everything. I think that would help her.
But what's interesting is, based on some promo imagery that I'm looking at right now, Asajj Ventress is wielding a yellow lightsaber. And that's interesting because typically those were Jedi Sentinels who did that. Temple Guardians. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
And where she lands on as far as her affiliation with the light side or the dark side. Or is she more in the middle?
I would say it would seem that she's more in the middle, but we will definitely see how this plays out as we go into this next episode.
I didn't want to use the triggering term that sometimes is used for Jedi that are neither light side or dark side, but it seems to get a lot of. Do not speak of that word. Some of the fandom will get all upset and.
I don't understand. I mean, it's a middle ground between light, which is usually represented by white, and dark, which is usually represented by black. I don't get why people are so up in arms.
I don't know either. That can be a whole episode of the debate between gray Jedi and how those who like gray Jedi are edgelords.
Okay. You know what? For those of you who are in the fandom who are listening to
not canon
or watching this, you know what? You can at me. I'll tell you right now. You can find me on X and Instagram at GKJ_publishing. At me all you want. I don't care. I will argue this until I'm blue in the face. I will give you a bloody discourse on or dissertation online. I have done it before. I will do it again. Come at me, bro.
Shots fired by Garrett K. Jones. Wow.
Our supporting network, Geek News Now, is going to be like, no, we got to get rid of Garrett.
No, I was going to say, the thoughts and opinion of Garrett K. Jones do not necessarily...
They do not reflect our parent company, Geek News Now. But my use of tacos does, because tacos are delicious. Anyway, we're not talking about tacos. We're still talking about Star Wars. Anyway, So I liked what it was kind of an interesting environment. Like this, the particular plant that they went to is very much like a Florida bayou. Very mm-hmm. much felt like the Everglades.
Yeah. Complete with space gators.
Yes, space gators. Though I mean, gators in general can just be scary as heck. But I lived in Florida during the summer of 2007, and I remember walking home from a movie theater, and it's middle of the afternoon, and the house right next door to where I was living, I'm like, oh, there's a log in their lawn. Oh no, the log moved and it yawned, and I'm like, where's my key? I need to get inside.
Yep.
Did not want to be outdoors when that gator realized it was hungry. So space gators, terrifying. It was actually kind of an intense scene. But I thought it was well paced. It went well and it was good to watch.
The villain reminded me of if you ever remember the old show Space Ghost Coast to Coast. The sidekick, the mantis sidekick.
Yep. I was thinking the exact same thing. Was it Brack?
What? No, Brack was the other guy. I can't remember his name.
Let me find out. Space Ghost characters. Zorak,
yeah.
Yeah, Brack was I think the cat dude.
No, he was the guy in the helmet, the red helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zorak was
the
praying mantis type character. So yeah, I saw the same thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, where's the dude in white tights showing up? But it was a fun episode. Like I've been reading a lot of books out of the Alien franchise lately. Mm-hmm. And so there's kind of that vibe, especially going into the derelict hut. I thought this was a fun episode.
It was even for, I mean, a lot of, you know, filler episodes could always be hit or miss.
Yeah.
And as long as we don't get, and I don't think we will, it seems like everything seems to be pretty tight. So I don't know how many more episodes it will get like this. Hopefully not a lot. I think that was the problem with last season, is we had too many filler episodes. We've talked about this before. This one seems to be a lot tighter. Like they're really leading into something. And you know, they really want to wrap this up and get everything taken care of in a nice tight bow.
It does feel like they're trying to make sure that all their I's are dotted and their T's are crossed with this. Mm-hmm. The storytelling has been much more concise than it was in season two. Season two kind of felt like it was all over the place and they really weren't sure what they were doing with that season.
Yeah.
But this season, it feels just like as tight as season one did.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about what you think about, because it seems like with this show and with other shows that they've been doing, they've been using this as really a way to, I'm trying to think of the word I'm looking for.
They're trying to tie up the loose ends left.
And the prequel of the sequels. The
sequel trilogies. So
you know,
it's one of those things where it's like you like the trilogies, because the trilogies are considered canon more so than anything else, or the films are.
Yeah.
Because the films are what general audience members go to, because they've hit the theaters, they've been out there, and people are like, okay, I've seen this. This I know is Star Wars. You know, a lot of the people that have seen the movies, they don't go and spend the hours to watch through the animated series or The Mandalorian or any of that. And so it does feel like, when that solidified as canon with, you know, one of the worst lines of dialogue ever to justify the return of a long dead villain. It felt like they painted themselves into a corner, and now everything that's supposed to take place in between the events of the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy has been to not necessarily a retcon, but they're fitting that, they're trying to mold those pieces to fit in place, and they're having to do a lot of explanation. And I feel like that's where they're getting themselves stuck, is that they're don't get me wrong. Everything that I like the way that they're going with Hemlock and his mad scientist project, it makes sense. And it sounds like something the Sith would do, because the Sith were big in manipulating modern technologies and Sith sorcery and alchemy to prolong their lives indefinitely. On the flip side of that coin, though, the films did something that I think the films played it safe, because The Last Jedi started to take the entire saga off the rails, tried to deconstruct everything, pissed off pretty much half the fan base, and J.J. Abrams was stuck having to fix that and bring everything back to some level of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone who's not great at developing story, he's great at developing moments or sequences, but not necessarily story. And character development. He's terrible at character development, but he's been trying. He tried to fix and rectify what Ryan Johnson did. And so since then, everything else that we've been getting since 2019 has been to fill that gap between Return of the Jedi and Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
And some of it's been done well. I will admit, some of it has been done well. Others, not so much.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think it's been a fruitful discussion we've had so far.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I mean, what are your predictions moving forward? Because we're now we've hit that. For some reason, I thought that we were going to have a 16th episode, and maybe I'm wrong, but for now, we're more than half, or at least halfway, or more than halfway through the series, or through the season. What are your predictions moving forward?
I definitely think we're going to see, as I mentioned before, something happen with Crosshair as some sort of, I'm going with he's been implanted with some sort of tracking device. And that's what's getting the hand. I think it's going to be connected with the hand. But I definitely think it's going to be something that's, beyond his control.
Mm-hmm.
I think something's going to happen to that home they're on. I think you're going to see some sort of a major Imperial attack. I think that it's going to be destroyed somehow. They're just going to, they're going to have to leave. It's going to be interesting to see how long it's going to take them to find out what the M count is that is connected to the Jedi.
Well, if my prediction about the Harbinger episode 9 is correct, and we finally get to see Asajj Ventress again, she's going to be in the know. She's going to be providing them what that information is. If we don't see her until later, obviously they won't get those answers. I mean, we as audience members have that answer because, I mean, we've watched, The Phantom Menace, and we know what a midichlorian count is. But, these characters are not in the know on that. So
now,
it will be interesting to see how that plays out.
Here's an interesting take. What if it ends with Omega going off with Asajj to train? That Asajj takes her as a student to teach her the ways of the Force.
That would be interesting. You know what? As much as I was uncertain, and here's the thing: just because she has a high midichlorian count doesn't mean that she has access to the Force. I mean, she's got some preternatural gifts. I'll give her that, but that doesn't necessarily that doesn't necessarily mean that she actually has force wielding abilities.
This is true.
She just might have like a gift, like an aptitude for perceiving things before other people do.
While
you might have some Jedi or some force, she might be force sensitive, but not force wielding.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's not if she's force sensitive, but not force wielding, it wouldn't really make sense story wise.
Yeah.
But if they do go that route, it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing so long as they write it out well.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll give us an ending where you can have your characters like Wrecker and Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
You can have that separation where they have to leave each other. They have to go their separate ways without, you know, them dying. And you could have a really emotional moment where they're saying their goodbyes.
Yeah.
Where, it's definitely going to be very, very interesting.
I agree. I'm really kind of curious to see what else comes of this because, like, I mean, as you've stated, you know, the Bad Batch, none of those characters show up in Rebels. Like, how is it? Do we want to say, hey, you know, this looks like the way the show is going to go is going to pull a Rogue One where all the main characters die?
I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting. It would definitely be a dark. But then again, Clone Wars has not shied away from doing dark stuff before.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see if how many of these little, you know, some of these characters that we've run into, not just in this season, but in prior seasons, will show back up again.
Yeah, it would be quite interesting to say the least.
There's those clones from. Was it episode 3 where they crash land on that planet? Or Wrecker and Hunter?
Yes.
Have, you know, where they show up at.
Yeah, that would be cool. Cause like, I mean, one of the things that we never got any real insight on is like what happened to any of the clones that hadn't been fully developed for warfare.
Yeah.
Like, did they, I mean, were they recipients of the implant that triggered Order 66? If so, what did they do when that was set off? Because if there's no Jedi around for them to kill, what do they do now?
Yeah.
So that's one of those questions that has been stuck in my mind for the last few weeks as we've been going through this series.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, this has been a fun, like I said, a fun little discussion. As we wrap things up here, Garrett, why don't you tell the people out there where they can find you at?
All right. Well, you guys can find me at, I shared it earlier, but you guys can find me on Instagram and X at GKJ_publishing, where I talk about my books, which are called, the series is called The Archives of Async Ran. There's 5 books in that ongoing fantasy series. There are some nods to my love of Star Wars in those books. Not many. They're subtle. But I also promote my show, The Right Way, which you can find on YouTube just by searching GKJ Publishing or going to youtube.com/GKJ Publishing. On that show, I talk book recommendations, author interviews, and creative writing tips. I have a new episode coming out this Saturday. It's my spring preview and author showcase, which is one of 5 back-to-back weekly episodes that will be playing from the 30th of March all the way through the end of April as I go into my author interview marathon, which is called Author Awareness April, where each week is going to be a new interview with a different author. So I'm looking forward to that. That's pretty much where you can find me.
All right. As for us right here, of course, you can get us hold of us through our email. Right there it is, warthestars1@gmail.com. Also, our handle on X is at Where the Stars One, or you can, if you want to support the show, ko-fi.com/War of the Stars. You can leave a little tip there for us. It's an easy way to do it.
$5 as the tip is. Tell Garrett that the Gray Jedi don't exist.
We need to do that. We need to do that episode.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Yes. Probably at some point in May after Bad Batch has been wrapped up and we're waiting for the Acolyte premiere.
Hey, we have our anniversary show. That should be.
That's right.
That's in May.
Star Wars Day is coming up too.
Yeah. It's
going to be fun. Speaking of Star Wars Day, that's going to be a big one. We have been asked, we will be posting on our social media as far as pictures of anything that we're doing for Star Wars Day. That day falls on a Saturday, which also happens to coincide with Free Comic Book Day. So there's going to be free copies of you know, new titles and stuff like that. They're getting ready to come out this year from some of your favorite publishers, including Marvel, which is currently the rights holder for all things Star Wars, since they're pretty much owned by Disney. And so check it out. Go to your local comic book store. You can go to freecomicbookday.com. Find out what stores in your area are available for that event. I know that here our local comic book shop is called DJ's Collectibles. I'll be down there selling and signing copies of my books, but the owner and a bunch of his buddies are all part of our local 501st chapter. And so they'll be there in cosplay and it's going to be fan freaking tastic.
Awesome. Let's see. So yeah, there was that one. What else do we got? Oh, YouTube, at Where the Stars 959510. Right there it is. You can check out not just this show, but mainly we also have, of course, as I mentioned earlier, Star Wars Through the Eyes of a Child is there. Myself and my daughter are going through the Clone Wars. We just finished up with the Gungan General, which was really fun. Of course, that and the one right before it introduced us to Hondo, everyone's favorite pirate.
Yes.
So that was a lot of fun. Be looking for more episodes of that. And little surprises with that coming up, hopefully. Fingers.
And as always, we're connected with Geek News Now.
Of course, yes. Geek News Now. Check it out on YouTube and Spotify. The official home of War of the Stars through Geek News Now. Check out all the shows on there. Check us out. Potentially for potential guest spots on those. I've been trying to talk to people to get on other shows and bringing people on our show from the network too. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
And was that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. As always, remember, this is not just my Star Wars. This is not just your Star Wars. This is our Star Wars. Until next time, may the Force be with you.
Misa called Jar Jar Binks.